Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on April 3rd. It is Wednesday, and last week we had a kind of quick turnarounds with the games on Thursday. So now we have the full week until Saturday's Final Four, but man, what an Elite Eight weekend it was. And truly, truly awesome with Virginia's miracle. And then just the craziness of just Duke surviving as well in the Sweet 16 and ran out of luck there in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I felt like they didn't bring their pixie dust because they barely held on for the first couple rounds as it was. I mean, that first 64 round was not what it is, but
right.
32 and 16 was they barely made it through. I feel like Duke is just a team that, like, everyone may have been excited to watch Zion, but I also feel like Duke was a team that everyone just loved to hate this year. Am I wrong?
This year versus every
year?
Well,
I mean, you're right. I guess there is every year, but.
Well, that's been the big sort of, like, impressiveness of Zion is that he made Duke not hateable.
Less hateable,
right?
Yeah.
Like, actually, you root for them.
You know, speaking of Duke, I just want to know. Last week, when we talked, you told me that you didn't leave your basement for basically an entire weekend other than to take out the trash. Is that
not
accurate?
Basically, factually, an
literally,
entire weekend. Yeah,
literally.
So Grubhub every meal. Well, I mean, March, I got home at Friday and then, you know, left the premises Monday morning for work.
Sure.
So I just took out the garbage Sunday night.
And that's it. So how did it go this last weekend?
It was good. I also was parked on the couch. Now, I started to get under the weather last Friday.
Okay.
So I've worked every day, but like this week I've been able to come in late. Producers just said like kind of rest up. So started to get a bug, if you will, Thursday night, little tickle in the throat. So I parked myself all weekend on the couch, and I did leave for some fresh air Saturday morning. Saturday I went and got the old pedicure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You left your man cave for a pedicure.
Right. Before the game started.
Good for you, man.
Before the game started. Because a little later in the day, once you get to the Elite Eight, I was able to get back in time for the second quarter of the Clippers game because we had some action with the Clippers and Cavs on the old 3:30 tip.
Yeah.
But I was not worried about baseball, even though the Yankees and Orioles were playing that started the Orioles run. So I'm just trying to replay the weekend. So, yeah. So I had a little petty. The talons needed some work.
I'll tell you what, if you are an exquisite gentleman that has never had a pedicure, you are missing out.
Right. So that's the next step of this conversation, the shock value of the pedicure. I did it in stride. Well done, Producer Dopp. So you're a big fan of the pedicure?
Oh, huge pedicure fan.
Now, I'm going to go on a limb and say there are a lot of people listening that are just kind of like, what? This is not going to be a pedicure podcast, which could be a good opportunity. That space is open there, I would imagine. I think people knock it before they try it.
Totally.
And as myself who bites my fingernails, not my toenails, I've done like three manicures in my life just because I have like ugly fingernails. I need to like, they're like, oh, maybe getting them professionally done will stop you from like gnawing on them. That hasn't worked, but I've gotten better. Maybe that's why I'm sick too.
That like, could be.
Sticking germs in my mouth.
Yeah.
But the pedicure, like, I just don't know how to clip those things. And then you get the scrub and the now I don't get them polished. I don't do that level.
No.
Like the females do. Although they do ask. They're like, you want any polish? I'm like, no, I'm good. Come on.
You could throw a little clear coat on there just to make them nice.
Well, it's
funny.
Kobe, I think, does that. Bruce Bowen, I used to tease him on air.
I love Bruce.
He is big on the manicures with the polish. No, I don't go that. I just get the stuff cleaned and taken care of.
Sure. I mean, feet. Just in general, not for you in particular, but like feet can be a sort of gross part of the body because
they can be. Feet are disgusting.
Yes, yes. So it's nice to have them taken care of. You know, like that little rub down you get, the little foot massage, the little calf massage.
We're talking once every 4 to 6 months.
It's nothing crazy.
I do clip them though. Anyways. Yeah, so that was I did leave the house for that, and that's it.
Good for you.
So a lot of Grubhub the rest of the weekend.
I'm really glad that you were just secure enough to be able to get that, and then also be able to talk about it, because you know what? Everyone should be at that point. If you've not gotten a pedicure, you need to go out and get one.
Right, so I don't know who has gotten one and dislikes it.
I want to say this right now. Tell me if you're on board with this. If you are a dude, and maybe not even a dude, if you're anybody, if you listen to this podcast and you've gone out and gotten a pedicure, after listening to this show, tweet at us with a photo of you getting the pedicure, Maybe we can give out some t-shirts.
Yes, yes. And how about this? It can't be an old photo. So you got to do those like ransom.
Yes.
So you got to like hold a newspaper next to the foot.
So you can see that you got right. it right this weekend yeah, after yeah. listening. Yes. Let's do that. Maybe
can't
we'll
do
pick
an old one.
No, no. We'll pick three or four of them. Use the hashtag behind the bets. Tag at Doug ESPN. Yeah,
at Doug ESPN.
Yep, and there we go.
And you don't have to go the full ransom. You don't need to send a letter with cut letters out of the magazine.
No.
Just something that proves maybe a TV in the background with a certain game on.
Yeah. Don't go like full that. Zodiac. Just go like half Zodiac.
All right. That's good. Yeah, we'll give out some t-shirts. I'm going to pull a little Bucci overtime challenge. I believe he pays for all the postage, so I will foot the bill for the postage on these shirts.
Wow.
By the way, I still need to send Murray his shirts. I've been very delinquent. I'm going to get on that. So speaking of Murray, John Murray's coming up. He'll talk about some action from behind the counter, both recapping the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, also looking ahead to the Final Four. And he's going to be joining us from San Diego, so appreciate his efforts. And Matt Heumann's coming up in a little bit, momentarily, to break down this weekend's games, because he's been on this Texas Tech team, as loyal listeners of the podcast certainly know. And really some intriguing games coming up. So there's your pedicure lesson, and there's your homework if you want a t-shirt. And I will respond to the winners. What are we doing, the first like couple or anyone this weekend?
Yeah, we'll take however many we get, put them into a bowl, we'll draw them out of a hat, we'll pick three or four random people that are doing it, you know.
Yeah, if there's like three of you that do this, I'll send all three. If it's like 10, I'm not going to do that right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Okay. So go get your petties. It's about maintaining health.
That's right.
And we need proof of life. Proof of life this weekend. All right, let's get to it.
You're selling the world's rarest commodity, certainty, in an uncertain world.
Let's now go to Las Vegas and bring in Matt Heumann of Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSIN. Catch all his shows and content online as well. Matt, how are you, dude?
Hey, doing great, man. I think it's been an outstanding tournament to this point. And not the Final Four we expected, Doug, but I still think it's going to be a good one.
No, it wasn't. First, it was Texas Tech involved, and that's a team you've been on for several months. We've talked about it. I believe you have a 40-1 ticket.
I got 40-1, and I actually kind of screwed that up, to be honest, because I was telling people in November, hey, take a look at Texas Tech, 200-1, whatever. That's probably a bet that's worthwhile. And, it's one of those do as I say, not as I do things, because I was going to bet it, and then I never got around to doing it. And then when I finally did, I got like 40-1, I think, at one point in January. So I should have had 200-1, but I'll admit to that mistake.
That's fair. That happens. There's a lot of times we've all been there. I will revisit a text you sent me over the weekend. You basically said you felt dirty for cashing a Virginia money line ticket.
I think anybody who cast a Virginia ticket in that game probably felt a little bit dirty about it. I mean, if you laid the 4.5 with the Cavs and cast that, Nick Bogdanovich of William Hill Sportsbook said this morning, he was obviously exaggerating a little bit, but he said that was a trillion-to-1 shot for Virginia to cover that 4.5 if you think about all the things that had to fall into place and happen for Virginia to cover the number. I felt lucky as hell just to cast a money line ticket on Virginia. Are you kidding me? But hey, man, I've been really unlucky on some games too. So you don't apologize. You just go to the window and cast. One thing that does bother me a little bit is when people who laid the points with Virginia are bragging about it on Twitter, after they just shut up and cash your ticket, something like that. You're not a genius. You got lucky. So just shut up and cash and move on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I may or may not have had a middle there, -4.5 and +6.5. But right. Last night I had the middle with the Warriors game as well. I had a second half, -16. Durant gets tossed. Curry gets in foul trouble. I grabbed the 20. And it should have been a dribble out for both teams. It's just nonsense. Like, the camera cut away. They inbounded it. 2 seconds, Isaiah Thomas sticks a three, and I blow my middle. So this roller coaster that we've chosen, this roller coaster path we've chosen, is just nonsense on a nightly basis. So you're right. I'm going to run to the window and cash that Virginia -4.5 before they do anything fishy.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for it. But I've said this during the first week of the tournament. If you do this stuff every day like we do, if you bet these games and you have significant money on most of these games, and you sweat them out day after day, you have to be a little bit sick and twisted as a person to be able to do this day after day, week after week, year after year. But and you get numb to the beats sometimes, but I don't think you ever get totally numb to it. And like I said, with Virginia last week, I knew I was lucky, extremely lucky to catch that bet, but, you know, been really unlucky on some during the basketball season as well, just like you talked about last night with the three at the buzzer. That stuff happens all the time. It's crazy. And
it's why I opt for middles.
Hopefully we don't have too many hijinks in the Final Four this weekend. Go ahead.
It's why I opt for middles a lot of the time. I mean, obviously that was an educated hedge because of the Durant getting ejected only a few minutes into the third quarter. And the Curry foul trouble without the safety net of having Durant there, and he had to leave the floor. But I prefer that a lot just because I'd rather get 20-1 on this nonsense at the end than lose -110. But sometimes you give away winning positions as well. So anyway, so three games left in the big dance, but we also got an NIT game we can get to in a little bit. So let's just keep it running with the Final Four. Where are you going with this? I'm leaning to the under in the Auburn-Virginia game as my best bet just because of the contrast in styles. I don't think the Tigers are going to be able to run up and down, but what say you?
I'm with you on that. In fact, I lean under on both games this weekend. And my best bet's Texas Tech. I played +3, and that's probably not going to shock you. I don't think you're going to fall off your chair when I say that. But I've been on Tech for a long time. And I continue to ride that team through this tournament. I'm not going to jump off now. I mean, the foundation for my belief in Texas Tech is Chris Beard is an elite basketball coach. And I think a lot of people are just starting to realize it, but you could see it last year, really. In this tournament, this team is so sound and just so good defensively, it's a joke. Buffalo's got a really explosive offense. Tech held Buffalo to a season-low 58 points. John Beilein and Michigan held to a season-low 44 points in the next game. Gonzaga held to 69, and that's a really talented Gonzaga team. And it was a pretty good defensive job by Texas Tech in that game as well. But to take out Buffalo, Michigan, and Gonzaga is no fluke. And, you know, if you think about Michigan State and its three wins over Michigan, the Spartans had to come from behind in the second half all three times. I don't think Michigan State is that much better than Michigan. And Texas Tech took apart Michigan and embarrassed that team. I do think it's a really well-rounded team because, obviously, a lot of attention is going to be on Jarrett Culver. He's probably a top 10 pick, 6'6 sophomore guard, averaging over 20 a game in this tournament. But he shot 5-for-19 against Gonzaga. And Tech still found a way to win that game, even with its best player shooting so poorly. That's because you have Moretti and Mooney, who are guys who can shoot the three at around 40% or better. You got Odiasi and Owens, who are really strong rebounders, interior defenders, shot swatters, 6'8", 6'10". And you got depth on this team as well. One thing that Texas Tech does, they block off the lane. And Cassius Winston is the type of point guard that you have if you're going to be able to beat a Texas Tech. You really experience point guard who can find creases in the defense. But I'm not even sure Cassius Winston is going to be all that effective against Texas Tech. What they do is block off the lane, basically, and force you to take contested threes. Michigan State's not a great three-point shooting team. So I think this matchup is a pretty good one. I don't expect Tech to take apart Michigan State like it did Michigan, but I really feel like that my numbers made this Michigan State -1. I took the three with Tech right away, and I actually expect Tech to win the game. Chris Beard is that good, and this team has really matured and gotten much better in the second half of the season. Even if you recall early in the season, Doug, Tech at the Garden in New York went toe-to-toe with Duke. And if you watch that game that night, you're like, wow, Chris Beard has got something here because he lost three starters from a 31 team that went to the Elite Eight. One other thing I'll say about Beard, I think Bob Knight is probably the smartest basketball coach who ever lived. If he's not number one, he's very close to it. And Beard was a longtime assistant for Bob Knight. He learned a lot, obviously, from him. And also, I think Beard learned a lot from going up against that Villanova powerhouse team last year in the Elite Eight. And you know, a lot of times when you get this far in the Final Four, for the first time you have to pay your dues and take a loss. I think Beard's ready. I think he's got Tech ready to win this game against Michigan State. Maybe not win the national championship. Maybe they win Saturday and then lose to, you know, Virginia on Monday night. That would be a really interesting matchup as well. But I don't think Michigan State deserved to be a 3-point favorite here, so I took the 3.
What I think my one thing about the under there is I think Izzo is smart enough not to get in a half court set because you're right, they help so well, and if you hold the ball around Texas Tech, they're going to take it from you. That's just what they do.
Right.
They don't foul. They literally just take the ball away from you. So I think the ball has to be continually moving, and I think they're just going to push it with Winston and try to get transition points as much as they can. Not a lot, but I think they're going to push it as much as they can and then move the ball. I don't think they're going to be dumb enough to get into a half-court game with Tech.
Well, I don't think you can help it, really. I mean, it's not like Michigan State. A lot of times the defense, the better defensive team, which is a great defensive team in this case, probably the best one in college basketball, it's much easier for that side to dictate the tempo than it is for Michigan State. You know, and you know, Izzo's, they're not exactly run and gun like Auburn. So I do think it's going to be a situation where Michigan State's going to have to score in a bunch of half-court sets. They're not going to be able to just get out and run. You know, I will say this, too. It's not easy just to bet against Michigan State and say, oh, I'll take the 3 here.
Right.
No doubt about it. The Spartans are 14-1 in their past 15 games with a 1-point loss at Indiana on a day when I just kind of felt like they ran out of gas at the end of that game. If you think back, you know, middle of the season when Josh Langford was ruled out, said he's not going to come back for the rest of the year, a lot of people said, well, that's it. You know, it's Michigan State team. So can't win at all without Langford. Well, Tom Izzo's managed to win 14 of the past 15 with a 1-point loss. So it's not easy to make this bet against State, but I do think there's some value in Texas Tech plus 3. And as much as Izzo knows he can't get caught up in a, you know, a half-court game against Texas Tech, I don't think he can avoid it for the most part.
No, you're right. And the text you sent me last week was Texas Tech is a badass team, and they really are. And you just touched on earlier their maturity. I really think they have all the pieces. And they all, you know, Seth Greenberg said this about Purdue, and I thought it was a very spot-on comment. As much as we've criticized Purdue, they know who they are. The players know their roles. They don't try to do too much. Carson Edwards obviously has the green light and maybe shoots too much, although he got hot this tournament. But you don't have guys who are trying to be something they're not. And I think Texas Tech is like that as well. They know their lane. They know their ceiling and their floor, and all the players play to it. And it's, you know, it's representative of good coaching.
Well, and that last part's key. That's a result of Chris Beard and some hard coaching, right? I mean, those are the best coached teams are the ones that are the most disciplined, and when the players know their roles and stay within those roles. I mean, if you watch Texas Tech, you say, wow, this team is really well coached. I don't think you think the same thing when you watch a team like North Carolina, right?
Exactly.
So you watch Tech, and you're like, well, this guy can freaking coach. And that's why I've felt that way about Chris Beard for the past couple of years. I actually thought going into the season, I said, man, this team's going to be really good. It's picked 7th in the Big 12 preseason poll, but I had Tech rated as the second-best team in the Big 12 coming into the season. And obviously, 200-1, nobody, you know, not too many people thought highly of this team, but a big part of my handicapping in college hoops, Doug, is with coaches. The best coaches find ways to get it done. Look at Greg Marshall at Wichita State. That team was a wreck, you know, about halfway through the season. Marshall got Wichita State to play great basketball in the second half and get to the NIT Final Four, where the Shockers got beat. You just have to believe in the best coaches find a way to get it done. And Chris Beard, I'll rank him right now as the top 5 coach in college basketball.
Who would be your other 4? Because I know Coach K isn't.
No, he is not in there. And if you watch Duke's lack of offensive sets in the Michigan State game last week, you wonder if how much coaching he's doing at all. I think those two coaches on Tobacco Road are extremely overrated. You're talking about Coach K and old Roy. Roy Williams, a much better guy than he is a basketball coach. Met him before when I covered college hoops over the years. He's a great guy. But beside the point, John Beilein is a top 5 coach at Michigan, no question about it. Beeline's top five, Chris Beard. I think Mark Few, Gonzaga. I'm going to go – I'm not sure if I'm going to put Greg Marshall in the top five or not, but give me a couple minutes to round out my top five. But I can tell you for a fact that Beeline, Beard, and Mark Few are in that top five. And Greg Marshall's another guy I think really, really highly of.
Let's go to the other Final Four game with Auburn and Virginia. You know, it feels like Auburn is the square dog here in Virginia. We've seen it so many times. A team gets, let's call it lucky for lack of a better term, to win, and then they roll from there. Maybe Auburn got lucky in their New Mexico State game in the opener. And Virginia's kind of squeaked by a couple of times. I'm waiting for them to break out and just clamp down on D.
By the way, I should have just ignored the obvious right there. Two guys who got to be in your top five are Tony Bennett and Tom Izzo, right?
Well, I was thinking Izzo for sure. That was my tip of my tongue kind of guy.
So when you talk about top five or top 10, all those names are in there.
Yeah,
a lot of times you got to get lucky to win a game. I mean, look at Duke. You got lucky back-to-back games, especially in the Central Florida game. Probably outplayed Virginia Tech, deserved to win that game. But, in the first one against New Mexico State, Auburn survived. And then the teams kind of hit a roll. You're talking about pace of play. Bruce Pearl wants these guys to really get out and run. Jared Harper sets that fast pace. Auburn is top 10 in adjusted offensive efficiency, actually, and KenPom. And Auburn, I think, is very similar offensively to Purdue. And the only difference is, are you going to have a Jared Harper or Bryce Brown knock down 10 three-pointers like Carson Edwards? Not so sure. That was one of the most phenomenal shooting performances I've seen from a college player. I mean, you definitely are going back to like Stephen Curry and some games like that. Doug, I went back and watched the highlight clips of Carson Edwards' three-point barrage on, I think it was a March Madness Twitter account, the NCAA put it out. He hit 10 threes in that game. A lot of those were from 25 to 30 feet. Eight of the 10 threes hit nothing but net. One barely brushed the rim, and one he banked in. I mean, that's just an incredible shooting performance from the distance he did. Man, you know, if that's what you need to beat this Virginia defense, good luck. But Jared Harper and Bryce Brown are the type of guys who can, if they get a hop from three, they can cause some problems against Virginia. Incredible run, if you think about it, to go through Kansas, Carolina, and Kentucky to get to this point. But Virginia's 33-3 for a reason. The defense is very similar to what Chris Beard does at Texas Tech, in that they're going to block off the paint. They're going to force you to take contested threes. This is not going to be like Auburn's wide-open shooting drill against North Carolina, where, a lot of times it wasn't a defender within 10 feet of the shooter.
Right.
It's going to be a much different type of game. My concern here with laying points with the Cavs is always, they're a they're the type of team that doesn't have a lot of margin for error offensively, obviously. And Kyle Guy started this tournament 3-for-29 from three before he started to knock some down in the second half of Purdue against Purdue. And that's really the reason this team is still alive. He had 5-for-12 from three in that game. But Virginia has not shot three well in this tournament. 9-for-27 the last game against Purdue, and basically 33% or worse in all three games. And DeAndre Hunter's got to wake up. He did not play well last time out, but it's defense that's going to dictate this game. Virginia, South Gardner Webb, Oklahoma, Oregon, to 56, 51, 49 points in the first three games. Offensive rebounding was another thing to really help Virginia a lot against Purdue. 17 offensive rebounds, only 5 turnovers. But I think the absence of Chuma Okeke is going to be something that hurts Auburn a little bit in this matchup. And I like Virginia to win. I just don't feel comfortable laying the points. Kind of the same way I felt in the Purdue game. I bet Virginia on the money line, and I was lucky to win that. But I just didn't feel comfortable laying the points with that team, and I don't feel comfortable laying the points here. They're just not playing well enough offensively at this point. And that's why you were talking about the unders. And which game did you like better under?
The Auburn-Virginia game.
Yeah. Okay. Also, this we talked about a lot this week, and it's no secret, but, you put these teams in a football stadium with odd shooting backgrounds,
right,
and then you compile that with all the pressure that's involved in these games, I definitely think that leads to looking under the total before you look over. Plus, you got three really good defensive teams in this Final Four, and Auburn's actually gotten better defensively here in the past couple weeks. I've seen, you would have joked about Auburn's defense maybe a month ago, but if you watch the SEC tournament and NCAA tournament, Auburn's played much better on-ball defense, especially from their guards. So, I do think you're going to have more defensive-oriented, lower-scoring games here. I like Tech plus +3. I'll say Virginia in the other game, but I just, Doug, I'm not going to lay the points. That's why I also, you have to consider live wagering options when you do this as well, because, if Auburn gets off to a hot start, you might be able to get Virginia at a very cheap money line price. You just lay, a point and a half or something like that. There are always options. If you're not in love with a bet before the game tips off, just wait. Use live wagering, and you might be able to put yourself in a better position, too.
Exactly. And something I've always said, I always look at the closing line as the first time out, right? It's or even if you really want to factor in the entire week, there's multiple timeouts. So you never have to go into it. Now, there's money line parlays. There's other things. But if you like the line, grab it. But it's not necessarily always going to be the best line. You might get a chance. You also get to get more data points. You get to see the teams, how they look. But things can also change a lot based on how they look. And then, Michigan State was up double digits in the first half, and then Duke closed strong. Real quick, we got to run because of recording time, but I know you have an NIT final play with Lipscomb in Texas, Longhorns laying 1.5.
Yeah, I haven't bet this yet, but I think I will. I'm going to see if I can grab two. I don't know if two will pop up before game time tomorrow, but this Texas team's really overachieved, and obviously the Longhorns got a favorable draw in the NIT, get to play all their home games before they went to New York, and barely got by Xavier in an OT game. And what the Longhorns have done much better here in the postseason's knocked down the three. They were not a good three-point shooting team, and suddenly here in the NIT they've started to knock down the three ball, and that's uncharacteristic if you watch this Texas team all season. Also, Jackson Hayes is out. 6'11 freshman, probably going to be a lottery pick. So Texas has won these games without Jackson Hayes. Lipscomb is such a better offensive team. Texas is definitely much better defensive team. Lipscomb's a better offensive team, more ways to score. Garrison Matthews, if you watch that game last night, great job closing by Lipscomb against Wichita State. I lean Lipscomb here plus +1.5. I might try to grab two, but I think Texas and its outside shooting has been a little bit of fool's gold so far in this tournament, but I wouldn't say it's the strongest play I have this week. But I am looking at Lipscomb in that NIT final.
Gotcha. Well, we'll look forward to catching up as well the rest of the week on Daily Wager. Appreciated the insight. We've had a nice run here in the tournament. Let's close strong, my man.
You bet. Let's hope.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
It's nice to know where this podcast ranks in the pecking order. Mr. Director John Murray taking a step away from the activities in San Diego to continue his devotion to our listeners and the pod. We appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I would always make time for the ESPN podcast, though. It's all the others that I throw to the side.
Yes. What's going on in San Diego?
We're here for the National Indian Gaming Association convention. I'm down here with the Superbook USA team and talking to some prospective partners and software providers. We've got a booth set up here. And yesterday we were sitting in on a few gaming panels, and our Vice President Jay Cornegay spoke on a few of those panels. And yesterday Jay and I snuck away to go to a Padres Diamondbacks game. That was the really important portion of this trip. But so far, so good. It's been a pretty good time.
Rough existence. April in San Diego. That's insane.
Yeah, they rented us a house in Mission Beach, right on the ocean. It's a pretty good setup here. Jay showed me the convention calendar. He's like, which ones do you want to go to? I was like, I can fit in that San Diego one. I got time for that one.
You'll make time. I saw some of the pictures you tweeted out, so well done, well done. All right, my man. Well, exciting Elite Eight, to say the least, really. And you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I can't remember better games for the Elite Eight. Now, maybe that's just my fuzzy memory, and I'm only remember, but it was just fantastic. What was the environment like in the sports book, specifically when Virginia tied it with that nonsense, wacky sequence of events?
Well, you know, before Virginia made that tying shot, I know everyone's going to remember that, but Purdue had actually taken the lead on a very fortunate three-pointer that Carson Edwards banked in from the wing. I don't know if you remember that shot.
Oh, that's right.
There was a lot of, like, back. I mean, I think Carson Edwards hit 10 three-pointers in that game. I mean, he was just throwing it in there from everywhere. He was like Steph Curry out there. Obviously, Virginia was incredibly fortunate to tie that game and force overtime. But I think the weekend, all four games really just show you how fine the line is between these teams. I mean, Texas Tech had a solid win over Gonzaga, but the other three games all could have easily gone either way, particularly the Virginia game and the Kentucky-Auburn game as well on Sunday. That game easily could have gone either way as well.
Yeah, and then Michigan State goings coming out of the timeout. I mean, Duke went up three, I think, with a minute to go. And
yeah,
remarkable.
Michigan State hit a long three.
Yeah, goings out of a timeout and hit the three to go up. It's just – it was just awesome, and you're so right. You know, when you think about these Duke versus the field bets or whatever it may be, depending on the year, you really just got to go with the field. I mean, that we've been talking about it. I know a few of us on a roundtable on .com for Chalk Page had to answer that question, and we all took the field. But as unbeatable as Duke looked in the opener against Kentucky, these teams all come around. And John Calipari told our Reese Davis the night the brackets came out, said about that game, that we don't even focus on defense at all in the preseason. So these coaches evolve, and anything can happen on any given day, as we know in March Madness.
I think Duke got a little bit overrated off that Kentucky win that you just mentioned. And then when they won in Charlottesville against UVA, they were kind of – let's just say they shot over their heads in that game, because they were throwing in every three-pointer in that game. And we all know that overall for the season – Duke was really not a very good outside shooting team. So it's kind of a fluky performance in Charlottesville. Duke was very good, but they weren't an all-time great team.
Well, they should have been, honestly. I just don't think they improved from the opener to the end of the year.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I think a lot of that, I got to point the finger at Coach K. I mean, I know we talked about this on the show last week, but to only get to two Final Fours since 2004 – with the amount of talent that he's had go through Durham, and with having a one seed pretty much every year, I think it's pretty disappointing, really.
So how did the books do, all things considered, given the craziness of the weekend? I can't remember off the top of my head what the favorites and dogs did, but how did the books do?
You know, we had a great second weekend. It was much better than the second weekend we had in 2018. And the dogs winning outright was really big for us. I mean, really the only complaint that I have from the weekend is that we lost some of the teams that we were in a great position in the future book, specifically Kentucky. And we actually worked our Duke and Gonzaga numbers to where we were in pretty good shape on them. So right now, really the only team we have a really good win number on is Virginia. And then the other complaint would be that, you know, when you lose Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina, it's going to cost you some handle numbers on the back end. Because, you know, while I love Texas Tech and Michigan State, and I think they're great teams, Virginia as well, those teams don't move the needle as much as some of those blue blood programs do.
So that's an interesting point, because I certainly saw all the tweets and commentary about how, CBS is dreading these matchups. And I know the books and the handle is very correlated to TV ratings. But even given the magnitude of the Final Four, like, you don't think people are just going to be betting it regardless?
Oh, no, I definitely think they will. I mean, my first complaint was more to the future book side of things. Like, we lost some teams that we were really going to do awesome on. Like, specifically, Kentucky was probably the team we were set to win the most money on. And then Auburn is one of the few teams that we actually lose on in the pool. So Kentucky winning that game would have been better for us. You know, Auburn became a very trendy pick to win their region and in the future books here, or at the Super Book, I should say. So Auburn getting as far as they did wasn't a great outcome for us.
Yeah, three-point variance, such a big uh, part of that narrative. Let's look ahead. So any sharp money for this weekend?
Not really. I wouldn't say anything sharp. I mean, there was definitely some money that came in on Texas Tech at +3, went to +2.5. Everybody's on Auburn. Auburn, a very trendy play here. They're getting about 70% of the tickets at the Superbook. We've been going back and forth between 5.5 and 5 there. But
when you say everyone, is that the public or is it early in the
public
week?
I mean, these aren't guys that are like our top sharp college basketball bettors at all. The public is very much on Auburn in this game.
You know, I had a feeling that might become the square dog. This is such an interesting matchup, and I had to do a write-up for .com in terms of my picks for the weekend. I only came up with one I really, really like, and that's the under in this game. And I'll just kind of lean on what I submitted as my write-up. But basically, Auburn ranks 3rd in the entire country with steals per game, 9.4, and 6th in turnovers forced at 17.5. So that's what they... Like, that's what makes their engine go, right? But Virginia is 2nd in the nation in terms of fewest turnovers per game at 9.1. So how does Auburn run if they're not getting it off turnovers and they're such a methodical half-court set? Because Virginia is not getting into an up-and-down track meet with the Tigers. Like, this is – I like under 131 a lot.
I think that's how Auburn ultimately beat Kentucky, was they forced them into that kind of – run-and-gun style that suits Auburn's style so well. I don't think they'll be able to do the same thing to Virginia. I think Virginia is too well coached. And if Virginia gets them into a half-court, back-and-forth type of game, I think that very much favors the Virginia Cavaliers. I mean, the fact that Virginia won that game on Saturday despite Carson Edwards making the 10 three-pointers like we talked about, I think that says a lot about how good the Cavaliers are, because I don't think that Purdue could ever shoot like that again in a rematch.
And Virginia's due for their best game, aren't they? I thought it was coming up against Purdue, and maybe they did play their best because they withstood the Carson Edwards three-point shooting and everything else that Purdue did so effectively well in that game. But I have a feeling this could be Virginia by 12. Auburn's taken out of its rhythm and just can't ever get off, you know, off the ground.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen when Virginia played Oregon, what you just said. And it didn't happen that way. And really, Virginia was kind of fortunate to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Eventually, you've got to think Virginia is going to have a game where their opponent isn't knocking down every three-point shot, and they are knocking down some of their open looks from three. Maybe it'll be on Saturday. It certainly looks like the book at the Superbook, Westgate, is going to need that to happen. Virginia is our best outcome in the future pool right now, and the money on Saturday is pretty much all on Auburn. So certainly we're going to want Virginia pretty big in that early game Saturday.
And that's the team you said you thought was the best in the country going into the big dance.
I did. I've thought that all along. Like, I thought they lost that game to Duke because of just a fluky barrage of three-pointers from R.J. Barrett in Charlottesville. But, again, it's such a fine line. I mean, Virginia could easily have been knocked out of the tournament on Saturday by Purdue. I mean, that shot was a miracle, basically, to force overtime. So when you get into who's the best team – no one is really, like, separated from the pack. There's no Golden State Warriors-type situation here. And it's a one-off scenario. That's the main thing you got to remember. Anything can happen in these one-game scenarios. I mean, I know a lot of sharp people that think Gonzaga is the best team in the country, and they certainly didn't look like it on Saturday against Texas Tech.
Well, I mean, even Auburn, first round. I mean, they blew that lead to New Mexico State, and the Aggies had every chance to win that game.
Auburn was very fortunate to win that game, really. I mean, I think the guy missed, two out of the three free throws when he got fouled there at the end of regulation. So Auburn was very fortunate to win that game, but then they went out and they crushed Kansas and North Carolina in back-to-back games. So it's hard. On any given day, anything can happen in this tournament. That's part of what it makes it so fun, but also why it's kind of silly to speculate on who the best team is, or even sillier to think that whoever wins this tournament is automatically the best team. I don't think that's the case every year.
What about the other game? So it sounds like the book isn't positioning itself at all to need a side.
So far the money is coming in on Texas Tech. We have a better – I mean, really what we're going to be looking at there a lot of is our future position on those two teams. And right now it's a little bit better for us on Michigan State. There's some pretty big tickets out there on Texas Tech at some pretty high odds. So I'd say right now we'd be better off with Michigan State getting out of that second semifinal.
Any opinion out of you?
I never want to go against Chris Beard. I mean, I think Chris Beard is such a great coach. I think I mentioned on the show last week I was tempted to take the +2 on Texas Tech against Michigan, and it just scared me because John Beilein is also such a great coach. But I kind of feel the same way about this game. I think a big coaching edge to Texas Tech. I think they're a much better defensive team. But Michigan State is really playing really good basketball right now, so I would lean to Texas Tech, but I'm not imploring everybody to run out there and bet it.
You know, they're really testing that no one has ever won the tournament since the expansion by a team that lost its first game in the conference tournament. So if you got like a double bye or whatever in the ACC, they lost to West Virginia, your West Virginia yeah. Mountaineers, and no team has ever won at all. And I don't know if that's really random. Yeah, I don't know if it's really random, like kind of like that par three on Wednesdays before the Masters. But
yeah,
maybe there's something to be said about losing your opener, like something's not clicking late in the season. Who knows?
Aren't you almost better off losing early in the conference tournament? To me, that seems better than playing four conference tournament games on back-to-back-to-back-to-back days before the real tournament starts. I mean, if your seeding is set and your team is set, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go out early in a conference tournament and get rested for the real tournament.
Yeah, I guess it's losing early versus first game. But
losing in the semifinals.
I mean, just look, how did this team lose to West Virginia? I believe twice, right?
Yeah, West Virginia was really playing much better basketball at the end of the season. I think they also beat Oklahoma in the first round of that tournament before they played Texas Tech. So, and then they lost to Kansas in the semifinals. But certainly they had no business beating Texas Tech on a neutral floor. I'm just saying that the Mountaineers, they had kind of righted the ship at the end of the season there.
And my apologies, quick clarification, they only lost once to the Mountaineers. Some fun prop bets you guys are offering. I'm just perusing them. I don't personally know enough to like see huge value to beat a 20-cent straddle. Any interesting props that jump out to you?
I was part of the team that made all these numbers earlier in the week, so it's hard for me to say that I think any of them are good bets. But I mean, we'll get a fair bit of action on all of them. I mean, I know that like I keep getting asked about our handle on the first team to score 10, the first team to score 20 prop, and frankly, we really don't have that much betting on it. I think maybe that's more of a tourist bet, and that's why it was so popular on the strip the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, I can
but
see that.
That's not really something that I see a lot of money on. I mean, we will sometimes see sharper groups take over the largest lead in some of these games. So maybe you think over 14.5 could be a good bet in the Auburn-Virginia game just because, like, Auburn is capable of these long scoring runs, and conversely, Virginia is capable of throttling down defensively and keeping the other team from scoring, which could lead to them blowing open a big lead. But, it's hard for me to really say, oh, I like this one when I was, like I said, part of the team that set all these numbers.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I would think the NBA was probably better suited for that. That's the volatility, but that's just off the top of my head. But to your point, didn't Michigan State lead Duke by double digits first half?
Yeah, I mean, and usually the public likes to bet the under in the largest lead. And I'm not just talking about it in this tournament. I'm talking about in general. The public, they love to do that in football especially. So usually the over is where we see the sharper players bet, but, you know, nothing happens every time, obviously. The public will probably get involved on some of the player props over, but there's nobody left in this tournament like a Zion Williamson or an R.J. Barrett. I mean, frankly, a lot of these guys are players that the casual fans probably haven't even heard of, with the exception of guys like Jarrett Culver and Cassius Winston. But I don't know that there's a lot of big star power in this Final Four.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many tickets you're going to write on Tariq Owens' point total over under 8.5.
No, I don't think so either. yeah, probably not. Or some of these guys that most people probably have barely even heard of. I don't know that we'll see too much action there. So like I said, the results over the weekend were really good for us, but they didn't put us in as great of a future book position as we could have been. And I don't think the matchups are quite as sexy as certainly CBS was hoping for, or even what we were hoping for. You know, a Duke-Gonzaga semifinal game would have been massive.
All right, my man. Well, good stuff as always. Appreciate you making time for us on this work trip. And really, you're just doing the heavy lifting out there in San Diego, catching Padres games and staying along, along the beach.
No, I did. I sent a picture of the beach yesterday morning to our team back in Las Vegas, and I just asked them all to thank me for doing all the hard work for the Superbook USA team and give all the praise to me for the sacrifices that I make.
Well, we all appreciate it. We all appreciate it, my man. Safe travels and enjoy the games. There's only three left. It's a sad time, and the NBA final week to go in the regular season. So it's kind of sad for me. Yeah, I like the regular season.
Yeah, but you know what? We still got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and I can complain about the Nationals for another 5 months. So there's still plenty going on in the sports world.
Yeah, Bryce Harper going yard last night.
Yeah, while we were recording this, my brother sent me a very strongly worded text. I can't repeat it on the air, of course, but the kid is already fired up. I think I'm just going to text him back and be like, dude, it's April 3rd. Just relax.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right, dude. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you back next week.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Kicking is for losers.
Thanks to John Murray and also Matt Eumanns here on the podcast. Everyone's got a busy schedule this time of year. Obviously, Murray on the road, but Matt equally is busy with everything going on with VSiN. So appreciate their time. And Dop, we appreciate your time as well. I know you're a celebrity and star, so your efforts are much appreciated.
Yeah, sure. When I get my own TV show, I'll let you know. But, you know, well, there's different celebrity statuses, right? I'm internet famous.
Okay.
Internet famous.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You got to play in these games this weekend? You got any leans?
I'm leaning Michigan State because that's what my bracket's got.
Okay. Good for you. My bracket's busted. No surprise.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Any confessions of a non-gambler throughout the show?
No. The only confession that I have is I just like Matt's voice. Is that weird?
It's funny. Ed Marlett, who does a great job producing Daily Wager.
Yes, he does.
He loves humans, too. And what his reasoning is, and maybe this is the reason for you and you just can't put your finger on it, just the old school handicapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like a just the throwback. While the numbers guys are great and everyone has their lane, Matt's just got an old school approach and very instinctual and obviously knows college hoops exceptionally well. But there's a lot of... I'm trying to think of the word. It's comforting his knowledge when you hear him. Like, you've become smarter listening to him.
Absolutely. That's the whole point of the show. You just want to get smarter while you're listening. And also, big shout out for the Lipscomb and the NIT tournament. Our buddy here, Keith Lipscomb, who works in the fantasy department. Big Lipscomb fan, so we're rooting for them to win the tournament this year.
Did a distant relative find the university or anything? He was not a founder?
He was not a founder, was not related to. However, because they share a name, he is a big fan. He's actually gone to do a couple practices with them. Yeah. So.
Also on that note, in terms of the athletic prowess of Keith Lipscomb, exceptional softball player.
Oh, yeah.
Like ringer.
Really good. He's a ringer. Good bowler, too.
Really?
Yeah. He's more athletic than what he looks on. Basically, Keith Lipscomb is the... was it Sister Jean? Is that who it was?
Yes.
Yeah, so he is the Sister Jean of Lipscomb University. That's what Keith is.
Oh, my God. He's like 35.
I know.
So we had a very competitive softball league. I don't play anymore, but like the anchor team had a few ringers. So Keith, not an anchor, but like literally batted second, never made an out. And he runs the outfield like a greyhound.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And
long stride.
Well, he was just awesome. Just
so good.
Like, I was just looking at him like, you're so much better at this sport than I am. we also had another ringer, Justin Kilker.
I don't think I know Justin.
He does a lot of traveling and stuff. He played college baseball. So, all right, my man, until next week. So no confessions of a non-gambler. So everything was clean and easy. And we'll get you back here, guys, next week. So enjoy the Final Four. Hopefully you're enjoying Daily Wager, and we'll have another podcast next week.